In 2008, the global financial crisis demonstrated just how unprepared the world's leading institutions were for financial shocks. Extensive interbank lending had put many global systemic banks, or G-SIBs, on the brink of failure, and national governments soon realised that their economies had been destabilised by a growing interdependence between their citizens and these institutions. Subsequent bailout programs catalysed the era of too-big-to-fail banks, but at the recent G20 summit in Turkey, world leaders rewrote the rules on how the world's top 30 banks would be allowed to use their capital to protect themselves from future shocks.
The shift has been going for about the last sort of 6-7 years now to try and find a way in which banks can really be made to bear their own risks rather than to create trouble for the rest of us, really. So what's been going on since 2008 is that the major central banks have been getting together very often to talk through what's called the Basel arrangement, to put in place a reinforced regulatory environment which would offset the risk to the public purse by putting in place safety measures to ensure that the risk is borne by private investors rather than by the taxpayer.
Professor Simon Tormey, head of the School of Social and Political Sciences at the University of Sydney, said government reactions to the GFC allow private business activity to be underpinned by public savings and change the dynamics of risk-taking behaviour in the global banking sector. But under the new G20 measures, G-SIBs like HSBC or Deutsche Bank would be forced to store at least 16% of their assets in reserve and use this reserve as a shield in times of financial stress, rather than using stakeholders' funds, as has traditionally been the case. Professor Tormey says the global community is looking to these measures both as a means of changing the way banks approach risk-taking activity and securing the financial future of their customers.
We're hoping that these measures will avoid the next global financial crisis, because the degree of instability in the system 2005 to 2008 meant that it became a threat for all of us. So what we're hoping is that this increasing regulation and the acceptance of that by political elites across the West and China and Australia means that people are more secure in terms of their own investments, their pensions, their mortgages and so on, and that they can look forward, in a sense, to a period of financial stability.
Though Australia's biggest banks, CBA, NAB, Westpac and ANZ, are considered too small to warrant the new G20 measures, any change to the global standards in capital cushioning, or the amount of capital banks are required to store in order to offset their losses, would affect their operation in time. APRA and the Reserve Bank already force Australian banks to store capital to protect themselves from financial shocks. But is the $16 billion really enough to shield us from another GFC? Dr. Rob Nichols from the University of New South Wales School of Taxation and Business Law says the answer is far from straightforward.
Is it enough is a question like how long is a piece of string? And the problem is we can make a really good guess as to whether things are enough and then ask each of the banks to run a stress test. And by trying those different stress tests, you can work out whether the bank has enough capital put aside. But the real problem is you can come up with ideas which look like stress tests, and we're probably much better at them than we were in 2007. But most of the particularly European banks that did their own stress testing in 2006 didn't foresee a calamity that was the global financial crisis. So I suppose the real answer is nobody can be sure.
Dr. Nichols believes the new G20 measures are necessary for indirectly improving Australia's financial services sector, and that Australia's banks have, in the past, proved responsible in their management of financial risks. The latest G20 summit produced a comprehensive document on total loss absorption capacity, or the ability of banks to withstand financial stress. But Dr. Nichols warned that although the GFC has made the world better at predicting financial downturns, the terms of this document and the overall transparency of global banking are still far from user-friendly.
Being prudent is good management practice, and you will still get a bonus if you're prudent. The real issue is, are you being prudent enough? And this is part of the long-term output from the global financial crisis. So we're 7 years on, and the G20 is just about getting to a stage where it can identify how to avoid having too big to fail banks. The term sheet is still a complex document. It says here's what to look out for to the prudential regulators of those banks, but it can't actually say this is an asset or this is a liability. What we can say in Australia, though, is that there's a high degree of consistency. So APRA, the prudential regulator's reporting, ensures a high level of consistency.
Dr. Nichols championed the 2014 Murray Review's recommendation for Australia's banks to be part of the top 25 banks held accountable for their risk management worldwide, rather than placing a particular percentage on their capital cushions. But as Professor Frank Ash from the Macquarie Applied Finances Centre was quick to point out, banking is far from secure and often full of swift, unpredictable changes.
Banking is inherently an unstable mechanism. Banks can lend large amounts of money, and as long as banks believe that there is a good chance that that money is going to be repaid, you know, that they will hold little capital against that. And if they then find out that a large number of these assets actually don't have value, then that eats into capital. The assets that might have been worth billions of dollars are now worth nothing. And in order to make the balance sheet balance, that means that we have to write down the amount of capital. And that primarily is shareholders' funds that get hit first.
Professor Ash is confident in Australia's current banking system and said although there would be some resistance to change, the G20 recommendations would ultimately prove beneficial to Australia's future.
We have a reasonably safe banking system as it stands at the moment, and if we do have pressure to increase the amount of capital that that banks will have, then don't listen to the screaming and squeals of pain from management. Nobody likes change. They'll squeal a bit, but we shouldn't listen to them. And any regulatory changes will be, I believe, quite reasonable.
Given only the world's 30 biggest banks were affected by the G20 changes, Australia is still some way off from real movement on this front. What's clear is this discussion will happen in time, and we seem relatively secure in finding a solution that fits. This is Taylor Schrader. You're with On the Money.